Luke 18 in your Bible this morning. We're going to start right into the message. We're not having a special. We're a little behind, of course, because of the baby day, but we've planned that, prepared for that, and just make do, all right? And I have shortened up the message, and I know, don't chuckle, please. You hurt my feelings when you laugh at things like that, all right? But I have shortened up the message. We won't stand for scripture reading. Look with me at Luke 18, verse 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, bringing your child to Christ. Bringing your child to Christ. Father, thank you for the privilege again to have baby day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. I pray that the two will work together in our hearts this morning. I trust your spirit will come and, Lord, illuminate your word in our minds. That means we need to give our thoughts to you for the next several minutes. Concentrate on what your book says. And Spirit of God, I pray that you'll stir our hearts, please. And we'll thank you in advance in Christ's name. And amen. The moment children come into a marriage, life changes dramatically for the new dad and the new mom. The word work takes on a whole new definition. And it's better to laugh about it, the challenges, than to cry about them. I read some interesting things a couple weeks ago when I put this message together. When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. When they're finished, I climb out. So that works. The quickest way for a parent to get a child's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. Is that not true? That's it right there. Having one child makes you a parent. Having two kids makes you a referee. That's what he said. I take my children everywhere, but they always find their way back home. So and this is what's true. This is really true. No matter how big and how tough you are, when a two-year-old hands you a toy phone, you answer it. That's true. How many times have you taken a little toy phone from a toddler and, hello? It's a precious thing to have baby day. Amen. It really is. All five precious babies. But I think, church, we, without, you know, rising one up above the other, I think we all know that God did something very special for Jake and Jana to bring little Kyle into this world safely there in the NICU. And so happy for all five of them this morning. No doubt children are work, but they are the type of work that is rewarding if you do it properly. Proper child rearing for a Christian includes making sure your kids are brought up with the knowledge of Christ. That's proper child rearing. In this passage, I'm not going to go into great detail about the passage itself. Jesus has been teaching by way of parables to the disciples and the others who were gathered around him. It seems that this time of teaching actually began back in chapter 17 after the transfiguration and so forth, after the 10 lepers were healed. And I couldn't figure out if Jesus was sitting somewhere and teaching or if he was teaching as he journeyed. But in this teaching, he covered some very important topics, including this matter about the children here and so forth. And in the process of teaching on many different subjects, people started bringing little children to him so he could touch them. Matthew said in his gospel, then were there brought unto him little children. Mark said, and they brought young children to him. Luke said, and they brought unto him also infants. So three records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, little children, young children, infants. All of them brought to Jesus. It's difficult to put a hard number on what age children were brought to Jesus, but I think we can figure it out. Young children, little children, infants. One thing the writers were certain about was the reason the people brought these kids to Jesus, it was for him to touch them. I like that. Good. Touch them. Matthew said, and I'm quoting, that he should put his hands on them. Mark said that he should touch them. Luke said that he would touch them. What more wonderful reason to bring a child to Jesus? Because what a difference any life experiences when it's touched by Jesus Christ. It's unbelievable. None of the writers suggest that any of these children were sick. You know, that's not why they brought them. They weren't brought to Jesus because they needed to be healed. The Bible, in Matthew, the Bible says Jesus prayed for them. Mark said Jesus took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. As far as I can tell, these kids were not brought to Jesus because they were sick and needed healing. These little children, infants, young children, were brought to Jesus so he could touch them. Touch them. So I want to ask three questions this morning about this incident right here. As these infants, these young children, these little children were brought to Jesus. The first question is who? Who brought these children to Jesus? Well, again, we're not told any specifics about who was responsible for bringing them to Christ. But I don't believe we do any damage to assume that most, if not all of them, were brought to Christ by their parents. We're talking young children, little children, infants. You watch how moms are with little children and infants, okay? And I understand when the Bible is silent about something, it's probably best to remain silent as well. But I think we can safely assume it's very likely that the parents would have been the ones who brought their kids to Jesus Christ. And mom, dad, can I say this morning, it's still the parents' responsibility to bring their children to a knowledge of Christ. Now look, parents, you may not be on the scene when your child receives Jesus as Savior. It might be in a Sunday school class. It might be with a grandparent. I don't think I would ever fuss about my child making a decision to trust Christ. Whoever God used to make that happen, okay? And so here it is. They bring their parents. Parents are responsible for this. The idea that parents bring their children to church and it's the church's responsibility to teach them about Jesus is a real bad idea. Now, the church, it certainly helps to be a part of a church that actively supports the parents in teaching the children about Christ. But that is not primarily the church's responsibility. It's dad and mom's. It's the parents. Moses made this very clear to parents and families of the Israelites as they were preparing to enter into the promised land. We won't turn to it for sake of time. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Listen to this. And these words, the words of God, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know what God expected? God expected that parents would be involved in teaching children at any opportunity, anywhere, and all day long. When you're sitting in your house, when you're on a journey, when you're preparing for bed at night, after you get up in the morning. Now, wait a minute. It's impossible to spend every moment of every day teaching children about Christ. But here's what he's saying. Parents, we should be ready to take up any and every opportunity, planned or unplanned, to make sure that our children have a knowledge of Jesus. It's called teachable moments. Teachable moments. Don't miss the opportunity. Sometimes children will ask questions that just open the door for you to have some truth about the Bible. Explain some truth that God gives out of the Word of God. Whatever people say, well, man, you can't do that. You know, why do we spend more time talking about what we can't do than what we can do? Obviously, you have to give attention and concentration during the day to other responsibilities and duties. But, you know, we spend our time talking about what we can't. We don't take advantage of what we can't. Little opportunities arise. And it's a wonderful opportunity for parents to talk about. Grandparents can be a great help in this all-important matter. On Sunday nights after church, I don't stay around long now on Sunday nights after church because that's kind of been our time to have the two families that live in the area, our children, two children live in the area, come over with their kids, and we have a meal together. And so a few other folks do the same thing. And we couldn't make any day during the week work, so we did it on Sunday night and after church. And last week, I think the girls were sick, so they weren't able to come. But I had the two grandsons in the truck with me driving to the house. And something was said about something. I can't recall now what it was and what it was. But it was a question that just opened the door for me. I didn't preach to them. I didn't give them another sermon. They already went through one. But I did take the moment. Take the moment. That's what he said when you're on a journey. When you're in your car. When you're driving down the road. When you get up in the morning. Going to bed at night. There's no bad time to have a teachable moment about the Lord. So parents, seize the responsibility. Take it by the horns. Be the one that just says, you know what? I am going to help my child have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's the question, who? Okay? Number two is the question, when? When? Well, it's obvious that the children were young when they were brought to Jesus. They're young children, little children, infants. I don't think we have to debate about that. You know, the words are used to describe them in these passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they're used to describe how old the children were. So without any doubt, these were young children and infants. Can I say this morning, a good time to start helping the kids learn about Jesus is when they are young. Oh, wait. As infants, songs can be sung about Jesus. As infants, stories about Jesus can be told. As infants, prayers to Jesus can be made in their hearing, where you're calling the name Jesus. Shame on you if the only place they're hearing the name Jesus is a church. Shame. When they're young, it does not hurt to immediately introduce them to scriptures about Jesus, passages that speak about the Savior, verses that pertain to salvation. This morning I got a video of one of the grandchildren here in the area saying their King's Kids memory verse for tonight. It was a heart melter as I heard that little grandchild repeat that verse. Here they are at a very young age. And scriptures being put in their mind. Well, they don't understand it. Doesn't matter. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. Passages that speak about the Savior. Verses that pertain to salvation. Start while they are young. Start while they are impressionable. Start while they are pliable. And you know a great way to do this, folks? Family altar is a great way to begin when they are young. A time when the family sits down together. And I know work schedules are crazy today. I get it. We live in a different world when it comes to work than it used to be several years ago. But you look for a time. When can the family sit down together as a group with a Bible? And it's not preaching a sermon. You know, what I've heard sometimes from some people, I wouldn't want to be at your family altar either. My goodness. I mean, I come to church to get really preached to, okay? But man, have fun. Have fun. Sing songs. Tell Bible stories. Pray. It should be fun. It should be brief. It should be something that would apply to children. And dad and mom, you have to be willing to lose yourself when you're trying to start giving your children knowledge about Jesus. If you want to bring them to Christ early in life, don't be so all-fired important that you can't put expression and emotion into a Bible story. I'll tell you what, I don't think it's hard for kids to pick up on what we're excited about. Little boys, little toddlers, watch guys growing up, all excited about sports, come to church and it's just, you don't think your kids notice that? Man, dad sits on the edge of his seat, and looks there, yeah, he comes to church. You don't think kids see that? What are you excited about? I'm not preaching against being excited about sports. I'm just excited. You better be excited about Jesus as well. Be excited about it. I'm going to stay excited about it. Most of the time I want to be excited about it. But you know what? If I'm in one of those moods where I don't want to be excited, I won't be excited anyway. You raise your hand every Sunday and during the song. Yep, I'm not going to quit either. You always happy? No, sometimes I'm lying, but I'm just going to wave it. I'm just going to wave it in the air. Praise God. I'm going to stay excited about it. I'm going to stay happy about Christ. Stay happy about the Bible. They're going to pick up on things that you're excited about. What are you excited about? Huh? Put some enthusiasm into it. You know, if nothing else, they'll associate enthusiasm and excitement. You got this book on your lap, and you're into that story, and they're going to associate excitement and enthusiasm with this book. That might not be bad. Amen. Okay. I'm just saying that's when. When they're young. Many children are introduced. You know, come on, people. And I wasn't going to say this, but it came in my mind. I thought about saying it. I thought, no, I better not. Now the Lord brought it back again, so I got to obey Him and do what He wants. Don't let the television rear your children. Don't let a screen rear your kids. It's not just television now. It's the device. It's everywhere. Don't let the device rear your kid. Amen. No, don't do that. All right? The Bible should be associated with excitement and enthusiasm. Hey, kids, come on, gather around. Let's sing a song deep and wide, deep and wide. Let's sing it as loud as we can without a sound. You're nuts. You're nuts. That's all right. Say what you want to say. The kids will know you're excited about God and His book. So, who? Parents. Primarily parents. Getting help at the church is wonderful. When? While they're young. Now, the last question this morning, the question why. Why is it important for dad and mom to start early in a child's life, bringing that child to a knowledge of Christ? Well, how many reasons do you want to talk about this morning? We don't have long. So I'll give you two. In John chapter 6, don't turn there. The account is given of several followers of Christ, listen to this, walking away from Him and following Him no more. Now, can I just stop and say something right there? People say, man, I saw so-and-so at Walmart the other day. They just don't go to church anymore. That just devastates me. It should hurt you. But people, this has been happening since A.D. 32-33. They walked with Him no more. They followed Him no more. My heart grieves any time a follower of Christ stops following Him. But I'm not going to get devastated by it. And almost quit? We had a fella here one time. If I called his name, y'all know him. They've moved off to another place, still serving the Lord faithfully, going to church, kids and doing well. But previously, when they first came here, there was a guy in the church who just really kind of took him under his wing and really encouraged his heart. And this guy that took him under his wing was a bus captain, and this man I'm talking about, he worked on this guy's bus, and over time things happened and things took place in the family, and you know, and pretty soon the brother was out of church. And I noticed after a few weeks that the fellow that had come in was helping him on his bus was hit and miss. And I was going to call him up. Unsought advice is seldom followed, usually resented. But once in a while, the Spirit of God puts it on your heart to do something. So I was going to call him up, and the very day I was going to call him, he called me, which is much better. And he said, hey, can I stop in? Sure. So he came and stopped in. And he said, you hadn't been seeing me every week. And I said, no, I was going to call you. He said, man, he said, Brother so-and-so's out of church. God taught me everything. Man. And he almost quit. He almost quit and got discouraged. Now, there's two things to say about this. You are the best Christian somebody knows. Okay? You think your life doesn't mean anything, you're wrong. Okay? Second of all, if the person who has mentored you or been a blessing to you flames out, it's okay to hurt. It's not okay to quit. It's not okay to quit. These people, in A.D. 33, that's a few years ago, quit following Jesus. So they walked away. Okay, now that wasn't in my notes, but the Lord had that planned, okay? So now back to the notes. Okay, here we go. Jesus turns to the 12, okay? And he says to the 12, will ye also go away? You're going to walk too? And guess who spoke up? Peter. But this is what he said. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Oh, Peter had it, didn't he? My gracious. Who else is the way to eternal life? No one. None. Nada. However you want to say it. Me yet. No, that means nobody. Jesus is the only one who has the words that lead to eternal life. There were many who came before him claiming to be the Messiah, but only Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies about the Messiah. Only Jesus was born of a virgin. Only Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. Only Jesus came from the Father. Only Jesus could claim to be one with the Father. Only Jesus spoke like Jesus spoke. No one else did the miracles. Who do you want to take your children to for the words of eternal life? Muhammad? Confucius? Buddha? Some dead idol with eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, mouths that can't speak, hands that can't touch, feet that can't move, and worst of all, no heart to care? You want to take your child to them? Who else are you going to take your child to? I think it was that song that was sung here one time. All the great leaders who sleep in their graves one day will bow and proclaim, He's the Lord of all glory, crowned King of kings. All creation will thunder His name. You want a reason to bring your child to Jesus? He's the only one that has the words of eternal life. The words of salvation. The only one. No one else. But hey, wait. Not only is there no one else who has the words of eternal life, there's no one else who can provide the abundant life like He can. Do you want, you really want your children's life to be abundant? I want my kid to make tons of money. There's a lot of people making tons of money who aren't happy. And I'm not against making money. That's good. Work hard, you ought to get paid for it. I want my child to have a position. For what? Notoriety? They can walk around because they got a shingle on the door that says CEO. Like that's the ticket to abundant life. No one outside of Jesus Christ can give your child a truly abundant life. That's why He came. I am come. Jesus said, I am come. That they might have life. And that they might have it more abundant. That's why He came. Only He has the words to eternal life. And only He has the words to an abundant life. Let me ask you a question. If you knew your child could live a good, acceptable, that means pleasing, and perfect, that means not sinless, but full. If you knew your child could live that kind of life, wouldn't you want them to? You know where that's found? Romans 12, 2. God's will. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. So if you want your child to have eternal life in heaven and abundant life on the way, that's a pretty good deal. Eternal life in heaven and abundant life on the way. There's no one else you can take your child to but Jesus Christ. That's it. Who? The parents. Dad, mom. Did we have any first-time babies up here this year? I don't think so, right? In other words, there was a first baby born to a couple. I don't think so. I think they were all okay. So whether you're a first-time dad and mom, Morgan, still recuperating from her C-section, Eric and Morgan, first time. Molly and Stephen here pretty soon. Abby and Andrew, they're going to induce her on Tuesday. First time babies. Doesn't matter if you're first child, fourth child, or sixth child. Dad, mom, bring them to Christ. Bring them to a knowledge of Christ. Start while they're young, small, infants. Sing little songs over their crib. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves Jack, this I know. For the Bible, baby's name is Jack. Jack, Jesus, love. He's not hearing that? You bet he's hearing that. When they're early, bring him to Jesus. Jesus. Bring in your child to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll take the words that were said this morning in a brief message and, Lord, challenge our hearts. I pray for all the parents here today with children at home of any age. I pray that, God, you'll speak to the hearts of dad, mom, and help them, Lord, please, to be instrumental in bringing their children to a knowledge of Christ. God, I pray that Jesus' name will be often spoken, mentioned, and spoken in the home. I pray that prayers to Jesus will be often prayed in the home. I pray that songs about Jesus will be often sung in the home. I pray that you'll help our church to assist parents in bringing their kids to Jesus. And Lord, as these children get old enough to know that you love them enough to send Jesus to die for them, I pray that you'll convict them of their sin and help them to come to Christ, trusting him and him only for salvation. Help us, I pray. Bless these parents, these families, I pray. God, help them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking. Pastor, somewhere throughout the message this morning, I didn't hear anything I haven't heard before. But something came clear to my heart, God reminding me of something and challenging my heart about it. God spoke to me during this time. I wasn't even involved in baby day, but I want to bring my kids to Christ, to a knowledge of Christ. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning, wherever you're sitting? I see those hands. Amen. 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 Thank you. Put your hands down. Get started while they're young. Get started early. And make it all about Christ. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. We have people that can show you from the Word of God how to be saved. I don't know what your situation is, but if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven when you die, there's a way that you can be sure. If nobody's ever showed you that from the Word of God, we have people that can do it. I would invite you to come tell one of these men here, I need to be saved. I'm going to pray for that in just a moment. It would better help me to pray knowledgeably if I know that there's somebody thinking like that. Is there somebody here this morning? I'm not going to call your name. I may not even know it. But you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air before I pray here? Slip it up right back down. Oh, I'll see it. If you came to be baptized, now is the time to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Father, help us to bring our children to a knowledge of Christ. I pray. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The invitation song begins. Would you come this morning? Would you pray? Would you ask God to help you? Would you ask God to help you bring your little one to Christ? Start early. Start when they're young. Make a big deal about it. Put some enthusiasm in it. Put some excitement in it. They'll associate Jesus with enthusiasm. With excitement. They'll associate excitement with the Word of God. Little hearts can be touched through seeing and hearing, through the eye gate and the ear gate. So who else are we going to go? Only He has the words of eternal life. Mom, Dad, stay at it. It's work. Be diligent. Don't give up. Stay the course. Father in heaven, I thank you for this very special morning, these precious little ones. And God, I pray for these in our church who are expecting babies in the next few weeks or months. Thank you for the McClure baby all the way over there in Saipan. Lord, bless them today as well. And Lord, all of us with children at home, may we take very seriously this matter of bringing them to a knowledge of Christ. That is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.